I think I'm just going to start right from the outset with coffee. That's pretty much where I'm at today. But I am also at home, which is nice because I've been in Sydney all week at Microsoft Ignite. And I thought I'd just sort of share a couple of things about Ignite and how that runs and generally how these conferences tend to sort of play out. So Microsoft Ignite is a little bit different to a lot of conferences because it is a Microsoft event. They are there ultimately to get people looking at Microsoft things and I would assume try and sell more Microsoft things or Microsoft Cloud or whatever it is they do. Hey, I don't work for them. I just go to their events. Now, they do run a pretty good event. There were a lot of different people. I wonder how many people are at this. Ignite used to get thousands and thousands in Australia when it was sort of tech ed and things like this before. But now it's like the Ignite Tour. And they're going to different cities with a lot of the same people. Not me, I'm just doing Australia. And doing a lot of similar content in different places around the world. So Microsoft Ignite, the tour, was in Sydney this week. And I spent, when was it, Wednesday and Thursday there doing a bunch of different things. And there's a lot I'll do at an Ignite conference that I won't do at other conferences. So other conferences tend to be, you're going to do a talk. So you go and do the talk. And then you mingle and you meet a bunch of people, maybe see some other talks, and that's it. Microsoft actually wanted some of us to go and do a few other things as well. So I went and stood at a Microsoft booth for a couple of hours on Wednesday morning, then again on Thursday morning. And the original premise was just like show some serverless stuff or something like that. And it ended up just a lot of random people coming up talking about all sorts of things. I churned out hundreds and hundreds of Have I Been Pwned stickers. I should have brought more stickers with me. I've got to order more. Did speak a bit about serverless as well as a whole bunch of other things. And it was actually kind of cool because it was just a very casual sort of environment where people wander up and go, hey, you're the guy from the internet, you know, and you do the Have I Been Pwned thing. So that was really good fun. A lot of people want to come up and get selfies and things as well, which I'm cool with. Trust me, it still feels weird. It's like, why don't you get a selfie with me? I'm just do the things I do. But it's really nice, and you meet a lot of lovely people, which was really cool. So I did that. I chaired a panel on Wednesday afternoon that I titled Servers, Where We're Going, We Don't Need Servers. And I got three other people along as well. I got Sonia Cuff from Microsoft, and I got Robert, and I got Dan, who are other MVPs. And we all sort of spoke about serverless things and sort of what it means to go serverless, because I do think it's a term a little bit like cloud where there's a lot of hyperbole and other crap around the name itself. So we did speak a lot of nuts and bolts stuff there. Now the highlight for me was the talk that I did. So I did a talk on effectively titled it How I Pwned My Cloud Costs. I did that Thursday afternoon, and it was a lot about how I have made Have I Been Pwned more efficient over time. And in fact, the heart of it on reflection was where the problems are with PaaS as an offering. So I was very excited about having PaaS to run my Have I Been Pwned on Azure early on. And it had autoscale, which seemed really cool, but then has some big problems as well. And then I rolled a whole bunch of stuff over to serverless. And I talk in particular how things panned out a month ago when I loaded that collection one data breach and how serverless responded. And that just got enormous engagement. You can really tell as a speaker, like, when are people into this thing? You know they're into it when everyone's looking at you and they're not looking at their phone, and there's reactions either visually or laughter or whatever it may be, but people are sitting up and paying attention. So that was really, really good. Then I did some stuff on Cloudflare as well, and particularly how Cloudflare really allowed me to massively optimize both the performance and the cost of Have I Been Pwned. And again, lots of stats, and I drop into dashboards and show graphs and things. I calculated what it actually cost me to run Have I Been Pwned during that crazy, crazy period when there were like 5 million plus people a day coming to the site. And I really wanted to see what was the cost of running the APIs that allow you to actually search, whether you search from the front page or people consuming the API directly. And I think from memory, and I don't know the figures exactly because I just went like, just give me the last month. It was something like 74 million queries that were run against the APIs over the crazy period. And the loss in terms of how many requests actually didn't complete and 500 out was 0.001%. And I'm pretty sure that was due to some underlying table storage issues. It might just be inefficient use of connections, but it was like one in 10,000 requests or so, like something that is a number that I shouldn't worry about providing a free service. Because that was that. But the really cool bit was the cost. And the cost, I took all the numbers and I put them into the calculator. Cost came out at $34. Like it was $34 to support millions of people a day coming to the site making these queries. Now that was, I still just find that staggering. You know, like they're searching 6.5 billion records as well. Now, in fairness, the $34 isn't the entire hosting the entire system. There is a baseline which I pay every single day in order to host this volume of data and host this app service, which has the main website on it. So I was really interested in what does it look like when I go from this normal baseline to traffic levels just many, many, many tens larger. And there's the answer, $34. So that was pretty good. That was a good outcome. Now, looking at some of the notes I made, because I did make some notes that I thought were interesting. One of them is I got my speaker scores, which is nice. So some conferences, not many conferences actually these days, have speaker scores. NDC does the card, so you walk out and it's like, red card, don't like it, yellow card, meh, green card, sweet. So you walk out, you put cards in there, and immediately the organizers sum them all up and go, here's how many of each color you got. Ignite actually has people go through and fill out evals electronically. A little bit in two minds about these two things. When you walk out and leave a card, you basically get everyone as they walk out the door. Ignite, my room was overflowing. In fact, they had to close the doors and stop people coming in like 5 minutes before it started. So it was packed. There would have been hundreds of people. But I've had like 40 evals or something. Be that as it may, when you get rated for Ignite, you get different metrics for different things and comments. I'm going to come back to the comments in a moment. But the metrics were, I found the content valuable, was 4.9 out of 5, happy with that. The speaker's presentation was valuable, 4.92 out of 5, so very, very happy with that. The comments were fantastic as well. I was really, really happy to see the comments. And they're, honestly, like reading the comments afterwards, you do end up on a little bit of a high. There was loads about like best talk of the event or best speaker or like really, really nice things that honestly, for any of us doing this, when you get that feedback in written form like that, makes you feel fantastic. Except for one. There's always an exception. There was one which was just like, I'm reading through it and there's all these comments about like how awesome it is. And then sandwiched right there in the middle, there's just this one comment. I can't remember the exact words, but it was like, this was just a promotion for Cloudflare. I don't know if he thinks I get paid by Cloudflare or what. Promotion for Cloudflare didn't actually tell me anything useful. It's like, the interesting thing is that you can tell from reading the comment that the person went into the event geared up to just kind of tear me a new one. And you sort of go, okay, why did you go? And why didn't you come up and tell me? See, no one ever says nasty things to your face. It's always a quiet thing. Interesting theory. It's not a theory. It's just what happens. So anyway, that I find more curious than upsetting. Now, also while we're there, the NDC folks were there as well. So Charlotte from NDC was there. You may remember Charlotte from such episodes as snowboarding in the Norwegian hills. So she was there promoting NDC because we got a bunch of NDC things coming up soon. In fact, that reminds me, I've got to make a note to tell you guys because we've got NDC in Brisbane. That's not a proper NDC Brisbane. I'll come back to that. We do have big NDC events coming up. So we've got the NDC security event in the Gold Coast, end of April, start of May. And then we've got the NDC full event in Sydney in October as well. So I'm going to put in some links to those because registration for certainly for Gold Coast is open. I'm not sure about Sydney. So that's coming up kind of soon. So they were there promoting that, which was really nice. As part of this promotional tour that she's on at the moment as well, we are going to do a user group in Brisbane at Microsoft in Brisbane. I'm going to double check my date here before I tell people. This is going to be Thursday the 28th. So this will be a free event, Thursday 28th in Brisbane. I'm probably going to talk about a bunch of the Azure stuff I spoke about at Ignite because it is Microsoft putting it on. I'm also going to speak about a bunch of Have I Been Pwned stuff. User groups are very, very casual. They're a really good place to come and relax, ask whatever questions you want. So if you're in Brisbane or can be around Brisbane on Thursday the 28th of this month, I'd love to see you guys at that. And I'm going to put in a link in order to find that thing. Now, whilst I'm on NDCs, has anyone a bit of like an NDC bent at the moment? And part of this as well was when I was over in Europe in Jan, it was at NDC Security in Oslo and NDC in London, and it just kind of reminded me about how much I genuinely enjoy those conferences and the people that run them. And in fact, it's another tangential thing, and I put in a note for this as well. One of the things I wrote years ago was around basically keeping speakers happy. Like, what does an event have to do? It might have actually been the inverse. It might have been, here's what you can do to piss speakers off. But it was everything from demanding that they use the corporate template for the event, requiring slides to be submitted in advance. Now, keep in mind as well, these are events where we go and we speak for free. Like, you don't get paid to speak at an Ignite or an NDC or anything like that. But anyway, there's all these things they can do to piss speakers off. And a lot of what I wrote there was based on the positive experiences from NDC. I sat down and went, all right, what is it that makes these events positive for me as a speaker? And conversely, what makes the other ones kind of crappy? And there were things like that. I think it was about 10 things in total. And it was funny because I was speaking to Jacob later on, the general manager for NDC, and he's like, yeah, well, like, we just do all these things because they're the right things to do. Like, why is this even an issue? I don't know, but here we are. So on the NDC front, I'm going to be in Minnesota at NDC over there, and that's going to be, they just announced that, that's going to be May 6 to 9, just announced my involvement. So I'm going to be doing a keynote at NDC Minnesota in May. So if you're in the US, there's that. I'm also going to be doing a Hack Yourself First workshop. So if you were looking for a public Hack Yourself Work First, Hack Yourself First workshop in the US, that one's going to be there. And as I stop and think about it, I'm not sure that I've done a public one in the US before. Don't think I have. So that's going to be the first one. So that's the NDCs with the user group in Brisbane in a couple of weeks' time, as well as the Minnesota thing as well. Now, on to other businesses. Business. I locked myself out of the Have I Been Pwned Twitter account. Now, I'm going to find exactly what I tweeted the other day, and then I'm going to get a little bit upset about why I got locked out. This was not in the plan. This is not what I wanted to happen. But basically, I loaded a new data breach. This was just the other day. And I'm going to find the record here. Yeah, loaded a new data breach. It was just a little data breach, but went in there, went into the Have I Been Pwned account. I've got a different Google account. I log into the different Google account, open the window, authenticate as that in the other Chrome window. Go through, I'm already logged into Twitter. Right at the front page of Twitter as I log in, there's a message. Would you like to add the birth date to the Twitter account? And I'm like, well, it's have I, like, I'm never putting my own birth date in there, don't get me wrong, but it's like, it's Have I Been Pwned? I do make a bit of a deal of it when there's an anniversary, just past 5 years old in December. I will fill it out just as requested. And I went in and I put the 4th of December. So far, so good. 2013. Now, all this thing said is I put the birth date in. And I put the birth date in. And I clicked save. And without warning, the message that came back was, hi, Have I Been Pwned? Your account at Have I Been Pwned has been locked. In order to create a Twitter account, you must be at least 13 years old. Twitter has determined that you don't meet these age requirements. So your account has been locked and will be removed from Twitter. If you think your account was locked in error, you can let us know here. I wasn't real happy, if I'm honest, when I saw that. Because there was just no way. Like, I know copper and all this sort of stuff and Americans and children and all that kind of, you know, rigmarole. Whole other story there. I really want to write a blog post about sometime. But why didn't you say you need to be 13 and if you are not 13, you don't get in, you know, or we'll lock you out? And I'm sure that someone somewhere will say, ah, but if we did that, kids might lie. Kids lie anyway. Like, do you really think you're going to stop that from happening? So I tweeted this, 1,600 likes. Tweeted it, and a whole bunch of people said, yeah, same thing happened to me. Business account, I effectively put, and let's be clear, when I say business account, the purpose of the account was for some sort of business purpose or open source project or whatever it may be, but, you know, like, not a native natural human. And a whole bunch of people said, yeah, they got locked out as well. And many of them said also, like, months later or years later, I'm still not back in. This didn't make me very happy. I reached out to some people directly in Twitter. I reached out to some people that knew some people in Twitter. And fortunately, about 12 hours later, I got the account back. I don't know how much of that was because Have I Been Pwned has a bit of a profile and I managed to get the right people, and I'm sympathetic for people that don't necessarily have that same level of access, because this was a shitty thing to happen. And honestly, for Twitter, like, maybe if you had a said in the lead up to that, hey, personal accounts, you need to be a human and you need to be 13 years old. If it's a business account, and apparently that it can be a business account once you start paying for ads, or I believe if you have just enough information in there such that you could pay for ads. And then they're like, okay, now it's a business thing, not a personal thing. Thing is like, as consumers of Twitter, we don't know this. We're just like, oh, there's an account and it's tweeting. So that was not a lot of fun, if I'm honest. And right at the same time, what else went wrong? Oh, I'd loaded the data breach, and for some reason, like, the freaking logo that I loaded just would not be returned over HTTP. So I'm sort of dealing with, that's the tiniest data breach too. Like, I've come from the 773 million record thing, which was a mammoth amount of work, and eventually it all came off okay. And now it's like, I can't upload an image and I'm locked out of the Twitter account. So that was fun. All right, still continuing, Have I Been Pwned and data breaches and things. There's been quite a number of them recently. And actually, I kind of accidentally put my foot in this and said the wrong thing. So I'm looking at an article from the Register here. This is the 11th of Feb, which is 5 days ago, which puts us back on about Monday. Now, that would have been Monday UK time, I think, here as well, which puts us on Tuesday. Now, Tuesday, I jumped on an aeroplane to go down to Sydney to do the Ignite things. And just sort of casually flicking through messages and things, I saw this story about 620 million accounts from hacked websites, you know, circulating. And for some reason in my mind, I interpreted that as similar to the other credential stuffing list, like more stuff repurposed. And I put out a tweet to that effect, and it was misleading. And I only realized later on when a bunch of people said, no, this is all new stuff. So by the time I realized, everyone had sort of stopped chatting about it. So I thought I won't go through and sort of correct it and then redraw attention to how I screwed that up. But I did think it was probably worthwhile talking about what these incidents are, because now the data is starting to surface. So 620 million accounts stolen from 16 hacked websites now for sale on the dark web. Seller boasts. Here's what they are. Now, I did not know about some of these. Other ones I knew had had incidents of varying degrees at varying times. Seems the data's now out there. So brace yourself. Dubsmash, 162 million records. MyFitnessPal, 151 million. MyHeritage, 92 million. ShareThis, which I have used before, 41 million. HortLook, 28 million. Animoto, 25 million. IM, 22 million. 8Fit, 20 million. White Pages, 18 million. Photolog, 16 million. 500px, 15 million. Multiple ones of these are actually photographic sites as well, which is interesting. Armor Games, 11 million. Bookmater, 8 million. Coffee Meets Bagel, don't know what that is, 6 million. Artsy, 1 million. And Data Camp with a mere 700,000. That's a lot of data floating around the web again, inevitably being sold. Now, what tends to happen when we see stuff like this is this data will appear for sale somewhere. So let's think back to like LinkedIn. I remember LinkedIn originally appeared, I think it was for about 5 Bitcoin, which was worth about $2,000 at the time. Originally appeared, being sold, lots of sort of hushed discussions about who has it, who's buying it. And in pretty short succession after that, it's now circulating around, everyone has it. I have one of these incidents, and I'm not going to say which one at the moment because I'm still processing it, but I've just gone through the verification process. I'm going to load it into Have I Been Pwned probably today. It is very likely we'll see the other ones surface over the coming days and weeks. So there might be another 617 million records, as it turns out, going into Have I Been Pwned very soon. So that one is obviously quite significant. I noticed as well, there was another one earlier today, or rather another news story that seemed to be much more of the same again. Where were we? So there was a TechCrunch piece here, and TechCrunch is talking about a hacker who... Why'd that scroll off the top? Oh, because... so I've got the... what did I do? What's the thing called? Pie hole. Shit, I'm tired after this trip. I've got the pie hole. Now, the pie hole blocks ads and things, but it doesn't necessarily block the great big divs that overlay the page to put the ads in. And because TechCrunch does some shitty ad stuff, it laid over the title. Regardless, hacker who stole 620 million records strikes again, stealing 127 million more. And what they're talking about here is these other ones are 18 million records from travel booking site Ixigo. Live streaming site YouNow, didn't know that was a thing, had 40 million records. Houzz, which recently disclosed a data breach, is listed with 57 million. Get, GE.TT, what's a TLD for TT? Who knows? Had 1.8 million, 450,000 from cryptocurrency Coinmania. Roll20, a gaming site, had 4 million. Stronghold Kingdoms, a multiplayer online game, had 5 million. And 1 million from pet care delivery service Petflow. So, there's a whole bunch more floating around from that. What I find interesting with this is that the attribution seems to be back to one individual. Now, whether it's one individual or a small collective of individuals, there's obviously been some sort of a catalyst which has caused the data that I've been sitting on to suddenly start circulating. And it makes me think back to, it must have been late 2017, when there was like Discuss and Imgur and Bitly and a bunch of others where the one person sitting on this data, at least in my experience, you know, one person sitting on that started sending it to me. And as far as I know, at the time it wasn't circulating much more because I had to disclose it to the organizations. But there are these times where there's just these collections of information which suddenly start to spread due to some sort of catalyst. I have seen speculation and discussion from people that there's been some bickering or some infighting between different groups that may have had access to this data, and someone's proverbially throwing their toys and, you know, putting it up for sale. So anyway, we have also seen a lot of data breach disclosure notices from these organizations as well, including the one I'm loading now, which does make it a lot easier to load when they already know about it and I can link to a disclosure and go, look, these guys know, here's the message, here's what you do, etc. So this, yeah, this is just an interesting thing, right? Just a whole bunch of data suddenly appearing, and there's just like a little tiny bit of me that's just happy to get back to normal data breaches and away from these massive freaking collections. Which brings me to the blog post of this week. Now, I spoke probably in the last two or three weekly updates about the fact that the collection one data that I had loaded turned out to be one of five different collections. And people kept sending me these other collections, either massive collections in this series of collections, collections one, two, three, four, five, or massive collections that they had cobbled together from other sources. So in this blog post, I mentioned one that's either 12 or 13 billion. You kind of start to lose track after about 10 billion. And I'll be honest, like I have been torn about what to do with these. And the reason why, in fact, maybe we'll just go through this a little bit chronologically in the blog post. I've been torn for several reasons. So, you know, that sort of collection number one had a massive amount of attention drawn to it. It also had a massive amount of misrepresentation by media. Now, this was things like the world's largest ever data breach. I don't think that that's necessarily a fair title when it implies that it's all just come from one location. I certainly said it's the largest ever incident that I've loaded into Have I Been Pwned, and then I wrote 3,500 words explaining the fact that it had come from multiple different sources, cobbled together, released as one thing. But the point is that the press picked it up and they represented it in many occasions as something that it wasn't. There were some pieces that were actually very, very fair and accurate. Krebs did a very good piece explaining exactly what it was. Lorenzo on Motherboard did a very good piece explaining exactly what it was. But, you know, I give an example here of a tweet thread where there's a piece here from Lorenzo. The title on Motherboard is the, quote, biggest ever collection of hacked passwords. And then someone, someone's messaged me here and says, did they message? Yeah, they did message me. They said, I know you can't control how the media covers your releases. Yeah, correct, I can't. But the reporting on this was garbage. Biggest breach ever. It probably could have been helped with a little more context from your end. And I replied to this guy and I said, there are more than 3,000 words in that blog post detailing every single thing I knew about the data. What specifically do you think was missing? No reply. No reply, because nothing was missing. Like, all the information was in there, but it got picked up and it got misrepresented. And I do understand the frustration people have with the media, and trust me, I had that frustration as well. So anyway, that was part of it. The frustration where there is a big number and that gets headlines that misrepresent the true origins of it. So, little section here, all the other collections come along. The amount of spam or other rubbish data in these collections is just massive. Now, in a way, it kind of doesn't matter, because if you think about the people who are using this to abuse other people's accounts, so long as they have an email address and password that might work, they're happy. They don't really care about data quality. But I was finding loads of stuff, such as all of these other collections, and a heap of it's already in Have I Been Pwned, because some things like babynames.com is a data breach that was already in there. I was finding loads of things where there were really kind of odd data quality issues. So I've got a point in here. I say, look, there's this site here. This was an Aussie site. What was it? It was an Aussie site about aviation. I can't remember the name of it now. Oh, here we go. Aircraftonline.com.au. Aircraftonline.com.au. Now, this file had 436 lines in it. There are 147 emails with a .de TLD. There's not that many Germans doing aviation things in Australia. Like, this was just data quality issues. There's a whole bunch of other really screwy things in here. All right, here's another good example. My own email address was in there with an old throwaway password on multiple occasions. Once, it's on a website here called, I don't know how to pronounce this, it's a Vietnamese mobile phone shop. I don't buy stuff from Vietnamese mobile phone shops. Like, there's no way in the world my email address with a password that had actually been used somewhere would ever have been in there. And then there's one called Dropbox, my email address, that same throwaway password. And that was never, ever in there. I know exactly what was in the Dropbox data breach because I have the data, and it was a bcrypt hash of a massively long random password that I created in 1Password. So I got all of these quality issues. And then went on and said, look, this is a very deep bottom, because we're just going on and on and on with data, and it's circulating massively. So I've got a screen cap here of a tweet, and I tried to obfuscate as much as I could so people wouldn't just stumble across it, but let's face it, you can find this stuff so bloody easy anyway. So there's a tweet listing all of these other collections and links through to mega URLs. It's like, just go to Mega NZ and download all the data. So that's all over the place. Then, oh man, what was this one? The 13 billion one. And I just kind of got to the point where I went, like, what is the point? What is the point of collecting all of this data and loading into Have I Been Pwned when the vast majority of it's been seen before? The data quality is all over the place. People get upset because it then gets picked up by media and misrepresented. Like, is this actually moving us forward, making the service better, or is it just screwing up the signal-to-noise ratio of the service? So the summary I sort of left here is, I said, look, at this point, I don't see that there's much point in loading more of effectively the same thing. Now, the new data breaches I just spoke about, absolutely. They are new discrete incidents. They've been disclosed. They've been verified. Yeah, great. I'm going to load those in, and they'll go up as and when those pieces of data come through. The old ones, though, like the collections, I just don't see the point. As people are prone to do on the internet, someone got upset about that and said, well, it just proves I did the wrong thing in the first place. I detailed really carefully why I did what I did with collection one. And faced with all the same pieces of information again and in the same circumstance, I'd do exactly the same thing again. It was the right thing to do with the information at the time. But that was the beginning of this slippery slope of just an onslaught of data. And the circumstances are now quite different because of that. So that was the right thing to do. And if nothing else, a heap of people read all of this news, learned about this thing, which is credential stuffing and password reuse, and then they went and got a password manager and hopefully got themselves nice, strong, unique passwords across important things. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the way that panned out. So I think that's sort of where we're at with all of these incidents and data breaches and things like that at the moment. It'll be interesting to see what this update looks like in a week, because I don't know how many more of those other incidents are now going to start flowing through and going into Have I Been Pwned, but at least I'll be able to talk about the one that's about to go in as soon as I finish recording this video. So that is pretty much where I'm at today. Blog sponsor. So we've got Varonis again. Now, Varonis is sponsoring every alternate week for around about the first half and a bit of the year. They've got a video here of their DFIR team investigating a cyber attack using their data-centric security stack. So big thanks to Verona for sponsoring the blog again this week. And again, Verona is one of these companies I have actually worked with a heap in the past. I've done a bunch of presentations for them, met a bunch of people from there, and they're really, really nice people. And I'm not saying this just because they're sponsoring. They're people I generally like catching up with. And one of these companies where it's nice to see the humans and the personality behind the brand. So thanks to Verona for that. Next week, I will be back in Sydney doing a private workshop. I've got a little bit of travel around that, so I know this video was late. The next one might be late as well, but I'm going to keep doing these anyway because I did get a lot of really nice feedback, particularly at Ignite, from people that came up and said, look, We really like watching these. A few people said their partners really like watching it and they're not technical. So I don't know why, but thank you to those partners as well. And thank you to supporting your significant others who then come off and make events like Ignite work as well. Thanks very much for watching this. I will come to you again in a week from now. See ya.